Well, I'll tell you what, it's nice to be here today in a sense that, you know, I sense the spirit of love here. Like, you know, I'm sensing this with God's people, and I'm very thankful. I'm sensing God's love in His Word. And it's so beautiful to know that no matter who we are, what walks of life we are from, where we've been, that God has called us into His family, His chosen people. Last week we looked at the mystery of Christ, and what was that? What was the mystery that was not told through the Old Testament? That was the church that was to come, as we know, at the time of Pentecost. And throughout times that we've all, maybe most of us, not all of us, but we've been to churches that did not preach the gospel. I'll never forget my home church where I grew up in. People would come back to that church like this church is today. You know, they don't teach the Word of God. There's something different, and they don't, you know, magnify Christ like my home church does. And so I'm very thankful for my home church. I'm very thankful for this church here today because it's like my home church. And so, you know, we come from different backgrounds. And so we are all called to today, as well as in other churches, to come together to exhort one another daily. So the day is fast approaching, like it says in Hebrews 10:25, that, you know, we know that the Lord, and I'm paraphrasing this, is coming back soon for His beloved. But we need to stay steadfast. That means stay immovable in our faith, grounded in our faith, rooted in our faith, abounding in our faith, and glorifying God in our faith. So Paul goes on to say this, as we looked at last week, that even the angels look into this, the principalities and powers look into the church, and they're amazed at what God does, His grace, His mercy, and His love. Like I told the Sunday school class, the only thing we did on our part is that we believed in it by faith. We believe that Christ was crucified. And yes, He did walk upon the earth, but He was buried and He rose again. And we do believe in the Bible from cover to cover, and we believe it by faith. So you have the angels that see this looking down. We also saw that, you know, no matter who it was, Jew or Gentile, would come together and they would worship God together. Especially, this is so encouraging today, where we looked at last week statistically, where people are so divided. Our nation is so divided and so dangerous. And churches can be so dangerous when they're divided. They don't get along together. So thank God we do. We're of one common denomination. We're of one faith. And then Paul goes on to say here in verse 12, he says, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through faith in Him. So we could go there anytime before God, night or day, whatever position we're in life, and we can pray. We can talk to Him, say, dear Jesus, I've got this going on in my mind here. Remember, there's a battle for the mind. There's things coming into this world that we need to focus on, and we need to, as it is, to sift out the wrong things and keep the good things that we have in life. He said, goes on here to say, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. In other words, he was in prison, but he rejoiced. Why? Because he was, as it says here, he says, you know, I'm a prisoner of Christ. And, you know, he was not saying I was a prisoner of Nero or of Rome or because of circumstances that he was lied about. Paul was lied about and they threw him in jail. But God worked out these situations. If he wasn't in jail, then he wouldn't have written these epistles. All things work together for those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose, who are those who love Christ Jesus. So, going on here, he says, don't lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, our glory is what? What is our purpose in life? Is to glorify Jesus Christ. So this is all working out. There's a purpose for everything in life. And things get really tough. Things get really tough out there. And I'm sure all of us have had a really a hard week this week. It's been tough. But, you know, God's always there, and yet I think of that one scripture verse, I can do all things in Christ who strengthen me. We can count on the promises of God. So Paul is saying for this reason about the church, he goes on to say, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So positionally, he is submitting himself. You know what? We can pray to God sitting down. We can pray to God kneeling, which is a sign of submission. We can pray to God standing up. We can pray to God when we're driving our cars. We can pray to God when we're walking. Okay, but remember, God looks at the heart. And so, you know, when our mind starts going out, okay, and going places where it shouldn't go, we need to collectively bring everything together and say, God, I need to be focused on you. I need to be praying. And God gives us the joy and retrospect. And we have the Holy Spirit that gives us that peace that passes all understanding, regardless of life's circumstances, if we lay them there and give them to him. And so it says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. And the title of this message here is a prayer for the church, a prayer for the church. And we're going to look at the Spirit's power and the indwelling in Christ and the Lord of glory. But yet there were some points I wanted to make here this morning, which are very important. There's like five different points here in these verses. So he's saying, look, from whom the whole family of God and Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and earth is named. So we are a family of God. We are together as a family. You know, as you attend church more and more and you get to know people more and more over the years or the months or the days, become more like family. And it should be that way. And we should be exhorting one another. We should love one another. And every once in a while, we have to correct one another because we do it in love, because we want the best for each other. We want to help each other. So we pray. We constantly pray. And these five points I'm going to bring up here this morning are very, very important. Number one, it says here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So we want to be granted those riches of his glory. And that's the first thing. You know, just the other day, I was thinking about this one ship. It's called the Terrashota. This is a Spanish ship that went down in the Florida Keys many, many years ago in around the 1600s. And I'm telling you this story here for a reason. It has a spiritual effect to it. And apparently there was a man back in the early 70s, I remember as a young man reading about this in the National Geographic, and he spent 10 years looking for this Spanish galleon. As a teenager, as a young boy, he remembered how he always liked to do some treasure hunting. He always liked to look for that. And as time went on, he got the money together, and he went out exploring with some people. And he spent 10 years along the Florida Keys, which is that little tail at the end of Florida. And apparently they could not find the Terrashota. And so what happened was that he made friends, as time went on, with a man who was a doctoral candidate in archaeology. And he decided, well, you know, maybe I'll contact him. So he did that. And this man went to Spain, this doctoral candidate, and he decided, you know, I want to look in the archives and find out about the Terrashota. And he did that, and he says, you know, there are two Spanish words, and I can't pronounce them, sorry. But the one Spanish word, everybody else was looking for this buried treasure. And it was right in the center of the Florida Keys. Well, apparently, The other Spanish word that this doctoral candidate found out in the archives was for the whole tail end of the Florida Keys. So he says, you know what? Everybody else is looking in the wrong place. I'm going to look in the right place. So what he did is he continued the search. Well, finally, it paid off. And so he found the shipwreck, which is worth $400 million. And you think to yourself, that's great. Well, he went through a lot of trials. He lost members on his boat. Family members had died. And, you know, as soon as he found the money, and there's a spiritual point behind this. I'm going to get to this in a minute. The state came after him. The feds came after him, said, we want what you have. It belongs to us. And then the Spanish government said, well, finally, make a long story short, he took it to the Supreme Court back in 72, 73, or whatever. And they said, you know what? You can keep it. So he was able to keep it. What Jesus is saying here is that, you know, I have the riches of glory. I have riches for you. They may not necessarily be physical, okay? Because today we have to work for it. That man spent 10 years of his life, and he paid a heavy price. And it was through all the turmoil. Once you think you got it made, you really don't, because you got other problems that come up, and you're like, when does this ever end? It doesn't, because Christ forewarned us about that. There'll be many trials and tribulations, right? But he was more concerned about what? The spiritual aspect of people's lives. And so we're dealing with things every day. Something comes up, we put something down, we think that's taken care of. But apparently, God is in control of everything. So God has given us those riches, what? Those spiritual riches that we can ask in Jesus Christ. And if it's his will, if we ask him anything in his name, he will give to us. A lot of people stop at that. And they're like, okay, well, where is it, Lord? But if we do things in his will, then he will give it the joy and the peace in our heart. He will do things according to his will. So one, we have to look for those riches. We have to look at it, what? According to his will. Say, well, where do I find it? I'm going to start digging. The other day, I went by the Fowler Park, I believe, here in the Commonwealth. And there was an old man out there with a metal detector. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, am I really trying to detect those things that are in your word? You know, am I just taking one thing, and I forget there's a long word for it, but there's a teaching out there, well, you could just close up the Bible and, you know, say, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? And it will come to pass in that same time when God comes against the land of Israel. Well, you know, that's ridiculous, okay? You should never do that. Never do that. That's tempting God. And what kind of riches can you find out from that? So what you do, you read the text in its context, and then you understand how God's word flows. But, you know, if we're not careful, that's why our daily bread is good, okay? We have Bible studies here. You have your own Bible studies at home, which helps. And those spiritual riches are the things that you can pull out of there that can help you. So God, remember, takes us individually and works on us over time. And it may not be easy. It may not even be what we want. But if we look for God's will, which was in Christ Jesus, we seek his will, then he at that time will bring it together. And it's almost like a handshake together. We will understand him better. Then the Bible says, it goes on here. And then we see, second of all, he will strengthen us here in verse 16. And it says here, to be strengthened with the might through his spirit of the inner man. So second of all, he wants to strengthen us. And so when we get alone with God, we need to take that time to what? Meditate. Meditate on his word. Now, what he doesn't want us to do is to be troubled. Be troubled. He quiets our spirit when we're in trouble and we're wondering, Lord, what is going on? You know, and then second of all, He enlightens our minds to see our situation through God's eyes. So, you know, once we settle down from our troubles, then He illuminates us. He opens our eyes to things in His Word. Then we see that He increases our energy. He gives us time to know when we're weakest, that He can strengthen us. It's amazing. When we're down in the dumps, so to speak, as one person put it, God can lift us up. God can even take that situation where we're down in the dumps and show us those things, why those things happen. And then He also can purify our hearts as when we meditate on His Word. So He can strengthen us, and he can help us. We need to enlarge in our view of God and meditate on scriptures. We can increase our love for God the more we get to know the Lord through His Word. And so let me encourage you today. When we meditate, the more we spend in God's Word, the more God's Word will come to us. And that's why we have books about the Bible. That's why we have the Word of God to remind us. Because we have so much that can easily erase those things that we thought we could remember. And then we can increase our sensitivity to the authority of the power of God. God is over all things. He's in all things. And He understands all things in our lives. Strengthens our faith and increases the awareness of God's present. And it infuses us with joy. So at the end of going through what we need to strengthen ourselves, we can have the joy that we need to have. And He gives it to us when we need it the most. It gives us strength at this time. I know it was a very difficult time for some people this past weekend. They had a lot of things going on in Oconomowoc. They had, the Friday night they had the movie out there, and what happened was it rained. And it rained really hard, and the temperatures cooled down. So it kind of put a damper on people. And then, of course, yesterday it was much cooler. And so, but for the most part, people had a good time yesterday there at the Fall Festival. It was a good time. Clear day, wonderful day. Sometimes God gives us those times when we expect. And they had canceled for that movie back in August. And then they decided to show it in September. And then the rains came. Sometimes for us in the church, it seems like, okay, I've done everything I can do, Lord. Help me, please, at this time. And then something else comes up. You're like, Lord, please, I don't know why. But the Lord loves us. Remember, He's not the author of evil or temptation. But He allows trials into our lives to what? To strengthen us. We may not see it during the day. That's what I'm saying. We may not see it because we're just so tired. We're so worn out. We're just like ready to give up. But then God shows us because of our faithfulness to Him that He loves us. And we can look back at it and say, you know, in a way, I'm glad I went through all that, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have known You, Lord, like I do. I don't know You better like I do. So we need His strength. And so there's that benefit in meditation. Then we see third of all, in verse 17, it says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and being rooted and grounded in love. So we want to be rooted and grounded in love. And it's important. Today you have people coming to church or looking for a church, and you have people coming and going here all the time, and you have a lot of churches here. But what's nice about a small church You have people that bring their children, and you've got people coming here all the time. And people are looking for something for their families. And the good part about a small church is that you don't, if you don't have children or you don't have a lot of children here, it's a good thing because parents, just being with their children, is a good thing. You want to know why? Well, it's like this. Kimberly and I raised our kids, in homeschooling. And we had to make the choice as they went into 9th and 10th grade to go to a public school. Well, yes, there were some good points and bad points. And it's not to say that we wish we had done things differently. It's just that we realized the more time we spent with our kids was better. That's why, you know, if parents have their kids here in church, they want to make sure that they're being taught, and mom's there. And, you know, you have the problem with the peers today. You have too many things going on that can give the younger ones the wrong thoughts, the wrong way of looking at things. There's a lot of peer pressure that goes on. I'm reminded what happened in Georgia this past week with that shooting. A kid comes in, a 14-year-old, and he's angry. The problem is with angry kids or even adults is that they have problems with hate, and they're not able to be watched after or taken care of properly. They'll do all the wrong things. And so it's counteractive of what can happen to people if they're not being grounded and rooted in love. And so we have a problem with that today in our world. If people need guidance and direction, we need it through God's word, we need it through other people, we need help through other people, because there's a lot of hate today. And unfortunately, this one kid just went the wrong way and decided to get angry at everybody and shoot people. And we need to keep on praying for those families. And so, you know, love can cover a multitude of sins. Love can encourage. Love is always there. Christ's love is always there. So we need to be grounded and rooted in love. And we all, even as adults, we have to watch out for our peers too, people that we know, that they don't drag us down with their sins, that we should be examples. And if we do make mistakes, be freely confess it before them and for God and before yourself. Forgive yourself and say, you know, I had a hiccup. I hit a bump in the road today. Please forgive me. But that's a long circumference around in the world today where people need the Lord. People in the church need the Lord as well. And we looked at the statistics the other week where some churches are divided between liberalism and conservatism. Our politics are divided. There's a lot of division everywhere. But the only hope and faith that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ and other Christians as examples. So moving on here in verse 18 and 19, it says that since you're being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all with all the saints, that's the family of God, our church, what is the width and length and depth and height. And so we see here in verse 19, it goes on to say here, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. In other words, has the idea of knowledge known by our experience. In other words, God can do above that. In other words, keeping in the mathematical terms, all those things that are from us everywhere in the universe. In other words, God knows the love. There's no boundaries from where we stand at right now positionally in Christ. There's nothing that can keep us from the love of Christ. We could be at the furthest end of the universe, which scientists tell us is continually to expand. And the love of Christ goes on in our lives. As much as we know today, we are Christians, we know him by his love. And I'm reminded of Leonardo da Vinci with the Lord's Supper when he sat down and he was looking at the painting before the canvas, excuse me. Then comes the painting, right? He was sitting down and he was imagining what he should do. And he was asked, why did you wait so long? And he said, it's because I'm waiting upon the Lord. I'm waiting upon the Lord. And he would sit there for days looking at the canvas. Ah, but the picture in his mind came out differently than the day before. So he sat there for almost a week and he decided I was going to, as he put it in his memoirs, I was going to continue with the strokes as the Lord taught me. And he was trying to envision Christ's face. That was the hardest part, were the faces at the Lord's Supper. But he waited. God wants us to wait upon him. And so Paul is saying here today with a prayer for the church. He wants us to realize that there are riches of his glory. He wants us to know that there that will be strengthened in him. He wants us to be grounded. And plus, he wants us to trust him for the, even for what we know today, that and with our experience, he can do even more than that. So we need to wait upon the Lord, especially when we are and especially if we're waiting the wrong way. Some of us, including me, we can be impatient, fussing about the Lord because he hasn't done anything yet. Say, come on, Lord, I want some, you to do something. Come on. Running ahead of him. And then nervously being anxious about the outcome. Oh, Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Sound familiar, right? Maybe this has happened the past week or it will come down the road. With us all, it does. Complaining, grumbling about the Lord for his lack of response. God, I read in your word, it's there, but I just it's not reaching me. I'm just not connecting. I'm not getting it yet. Because until the Spirit brings it to mind and brings it to your heart, and you're like, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. Then there's questioning, doubting that God's judgment is right. Oh, Lord, you know, I didn't like the outcome of this. I don't think how I like the way things were judged, the way things were done. And that's what, you know, we fall in that same fleshly, we question God because we're saying, Lord, you know, is this really what all you're going to do? You know, and we're all guilty of that because we're all still sinners, but we're saved by grace through faith. And so sometimes we get frustrated, being annoyed because God isn't working according to our desires. You know, this is not what I really wanted. I desired this. Remember, God will give us what his desires if we look into his will. Our desires will match up with his and we'll be able to walk in hand. Then we're also irritated because aggravated by this seeming inactivity. I don't see anything being done. I don't see anything being done. What's going on, Lord? And we get frustrated with that, and that's a natural response. But we wait upon the Lord. And then if that doesn't get you, if the devil doesn't get you that way because you give into your flesh, then you feel miserable, feeling that God is withholding something from you. So there's nothing worse than that. Is, you know, worry always enjoys people that are miserable and feeling that God's withholding something from you. But to know that these are some of the promises here, we should be, number one, be patient, patient. And Psalms 41:3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, for he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock, making my footsteps firm. He put on a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear that and will trust in the name of the Lord. So he wants us to wait patiently for him. It's nothing better than being relaxed. God's just saying, just relax. It's okay. Number two, quietly. Why should we wait upon the Lord? My soul, according to Psalm 62:5, says, waits in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. So it's nothing better than to hear that still, quiet, small voice speaking to you in that supernatural way that only the Holy Spirit can. And only you can fuse those two together in your mind and knowing that when the Holy Spirit's speaking through to you through his word and to you only individually as he does. Expectantly, Psalms 27:13, waiting upon the Lord, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. God will show it to us. God will show his goodness and mercy that it goes on forever and ever. I will rejoice in the Lord because of his goodness and his mercy. And then we need to be courageously. There's Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. You know, God wants us to be courageous. God wants us to do something. God wants us to step up to the plate. You know, it's so easy, as my mother used to tell me years ago, it's so easy to get stuck in a rut. You're just going back and forth. You're not getting anywhere. You're stuck. God doesn't want us to get into stuck mode. He wants us to put it in drive. Some of us like to put it in overdrive, and that doesn't help. But we put it in drive, and we get going with our lives because some of us are great thinkers here today, which is good. Some of us just like to drive. You know, we like, let's get going. You know, it's good to have a balance between the two. And so as we wait upon the Lord, and then, of course, standing on with God's word, Psalms 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait. And his word do I hope. So we wait upon God's answer to prayer. You know, I want to encourage you today, if you're waiting upon the Lord, that's good. Good. Because you're waiting for him. You got your plans for the week. You got everything going on. And you have God as the control of your life. And you're waiting upon him to what? Do something. It's not that you, some people think, well, you know what? I'm going to wait on the Lord. So I'm just going to sit there and not do anything. That doesn't work that way. It has the idea of a continuous thought, and God is working things out with our plans. Like it says in Proverbs, a man thinks so he does, but remember, God will direct his steps. And so we may have plans, but make sure, I want to encourage you this week, our prayer for our churches this week, that, you know, God's will be done in our lives. And we can encourage others, Lord, I am willing to do this, your will. And, you know, God will give us the peace of passable understanding. And I want to share that with somebody today. I want to help somebody today, encourage them today. And I just wanted to say this with Susan Smith. Write her a card. Give her a call. Encourage her. Encourage people today that you know that are suffering. And so looking at this here as I'm concluding here, so we have the riches of his glory. We have what there is in Christ Jesus. And, you know, God already has it for us spiritually. Number two, we are strengthened in the spirit of the inner person. So meditate on God's word. Ask him for strength. Ask him for health. You know, sometimes we get so far down the road, we forget about God. We're saying, wait a minute, Lord, let me hurry up and do this first. Can you mind if I just put you back here for a minute? I got to hurry up and do this. No, he wants us to plan right with him. And then three, we're grounded and rooted in his love. So we're grounded in love with our families as well as with young ones. And as well with older ones, we have to be careful with our peers, who we hang around with, what we're doing, okay? And it doesn't mean that small is bad. A small church is good. There's a lot of benefits with being in a small church. Let me encourage you. Yes, we do want growth here, but yet God will grow. It's His work and His time. And you know what? Big churches have their problems too. My problem is with huge churches, and I met some very good ones, that they're so big you get lost. You get lost. And you know, then you have to, I was a Christian school teacher at one time, and for a year, my wife and I were, and then we went over to Europe for a couple of years and taught English. What I learned about Christian schools, and in all that way, sometimes they can be glorified public schools. And, you know, and you have the same peer pressure in Christian schools as you do in public schools. Don't let anybody fool you, okay? Because we're all sinners, and yet what Tommy and Sue do over here, oh boy, I want to do what they do. We had problems in our Christian school. We had problems, as well as there are problems in public schools. And yes, sometimes in homeschooling, but you don't have the tearing apart and look what Tommy and Sue are doing. I want to be like them instead of being like Jesus. And then, of course, there's the knowledge that passes all understanding by experience, which Christ can do. The fourth point Paul is praying about, he's saying God can do anything that we've even experienced. God can do even more than that. So we need to wait upon the Lord. Okay. And of course, I didn't mention Isaiah 40, 30 and 31, because we pretty much all know that verse by now. We're, you know, and so then we see all here as closing up in verse 20. And he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So that is a powerful God that can do that. And according to the power of the works that is in us. So we have the power that can work in us. I was looking at this book that I have at home, sermon illustrations, and one of them says that there was a church sign out there, and it actually happened where you had Jesus only. What happens if you take the J-E-S off of Jesus? You have us only. So when you have only the people doing the work, okay, you don't have any of Christ's power. One evangelist said this years ago in his sermon, he says, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. We need to keep on praying. Don't give up. I know sometimes it's hard, and you're like, some days I can't even pray. I honestly can't pray. I'm just so tired or whatever our reasons here are today, and we're like, Lord, that's why we have the church bulletin. That's why we have prayer lists so we can remember. And sometimes we don't even know if that's doing any good. I'm just being brutally honest with myself here too. And so I have to remember to do what's right. And I have one more illustration about his power. You know, God wants us, before I close, God wants us to be creative. And God wants us through prayer. Sometimes God gives a good creative mentality. You ever heard that expression, the fifth wheel? When tractor trailer drivers, they use that. It was that disc that was behind the tractor that the trailer would hook onto that the pin would go in. They call that the fifth wheel. Okay. Well, the fifth wheel was around even before that. Back in the 20s and 30s, I don't know who it was that invented this. And what came to my mind was when people go to park their cars. Okay. And I see this in Econowalk all the time. Everybody's got to stop to let somebody park in there. And, of course, their heart is beating or sweating. They're thinking, oh, my goodness, somebody hits me. And I'm trying to pull in. I have to back in first, not forward first, because then I have to try again. So they have to back up. Well, what happened was is with this fifth wheel back in the 20s and 30s, this guy came with the invention. It was the wheel in the back of the car would drop down. And if you needed to pull in, you pulled in headlong first, which you shouldn't do, but that's what they wanted you to do, okay? And this wheel would drop down, and it would lift up the car a little bit so that the wheel, the fifth wheel, would take you into the parking area. So That's how the original purpose for the fifth wheel started. But what I'm trying to say is that God gives us the power to think, to be creative. That's why you have, you know, people are starting off to be engineers, people are scientists, people who have that creativity. Not everybody does, but God wants us, when we go to prayer, Lord, I love you and I want to do your will. Number one, we need to pray for his will to be done, not our will. And if we do his will, God will entail together, put together his perfect plan for our lives. And he will give the desires of what? Our hearts. He will give those desires that we want. My problem is that, Lord, I don't want the fifth wheel, and I can just do it. You know, remember when you first learned how to park a vehicle? Don't even go there. It's worse enough if you're learning to go for your CDL, or it used to be the grandfather's license back in the day when you drove tractor trailer or learned to drive truck. And you had to learn how God wants us to say, look, I want to drive. I want to be in control of your steering wheel. I want you to give you the thoughts. I want you to know the height, the depth, the width, and whatever there is. God's love will be there in you, through you. And let me encourage you. We need to wait upon him. And our prayer should be today, Lord, help us to wait upon you. Because I can just totally mess things up. And I'm sure we've all done that too before. But I'm saying this in love. Sometimes we just, you know, dress it all up and say, you know what? I'm good. I'm okay. But we know that if we know ourselves well enough that we can mess things up. And God wants us to say, you know what? I got this. Let me take control for you. Okay? I can do a better job, you know? And so I think I'm done with this. Okay, we're done with the sermon. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for even little glitches like what happened in the bulletin, with the songs, and then other things that happen in our life, like, you know, whatever happens, Lord, you know, and you love us. And we thank you for the Paul's prayer for the church. And we just give thanks. We thank you so much, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Father, help us to have a good week in prayer with you, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, for those who don't know you as Savior, we pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and mind, convict them that they need a Savior from their sins. And what does that mean? That spiritually we're dead without Jesus Christ. And we look at all the churches around us today, and Lord, you don't want us to be concerned about all the other churches and what they're doing. You want us, number one, to be concerned about ourselves. And number two, what we can do to help other believers. And number three, once we got that right, then maybe we can reach out and help out our neighbors and others, Lord. You say, well, wait a minute. I messed up there too with my neighbor. Well, you can always apologize and you can always forgive yourself and ask God for forgiveness and ask your neighbor for forgiveness. There's always room at the cross. And if you haven't been picking up your cross lately, do so today. And I'm speaking from my heart, and that goes for me too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.